Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We are talking about some prophetic words and happenings that are taking place this week and the fulfillment of it. And I guess we'll talk about the word first, because this is really was just driven into my spirit. And it was a dream that was given to Dmitri Dudeman in April 22nd, 1996. And it just never left me. And in this particular dream, Russia, China, and America are in this particular dream. And he was praying, and he went to bed one particular night. When he woke up, suddenly a trumpet sounded, and a voice cried out. This is that word that was being given in the dream that he had. Cried out to me, he said, "Stand!" In my vision, I was in America. I was walking out of my home, and I began to look for one who was speaking to me. As I looked, I saw three men dressed alike. Two of the men carried weapons, and one of them was an armed man. And he came to me. "I woke you up to show you what is about to come. Come with me." This is what Dmitri Dudeman is having in his prophetic dream. He said, "I don't know where I was being taken to, but when we reached a certain particular place," he said, "stop here." A pair of binoculars was handed to me, and I was told to look through them. "Stand there, don't move, and look," he continued. "You will see what they are seeing. You'll be able to see what they're actually saying and what they are preparing for America." So this is something that was being prepared for America. He says, "As I was looking, I saw a great light. A dark cloud appeared over me. I saw the president of Russia. I saw the president of Russia, a short," sounds like Putin, right?
Yeah, right.
"Chubby," he'd be really offended, "chubby man," who said he was the... And, oh, a short, no, a short, chubby man who said he was the president of China, and two others. Okay. So you had the short, you had Russia president, you had the president of China, and the last two also were there, but I didn't understand who they were. "However, I gathered they were part of Russia, part of the Russia-controlled territories. The men stepped out of a cloud," so they were actually in a cloud. "The Russian president began to speak to the Chinese one. 'I will give you the land with all the people, but you must free Taiwan of the Americans. Do not fear. We will attack them from behind.'" This is a prophetic word, prophetic dream, vision being given to Dmitri Dudeman in 1996. And it goes on to say, "A voice said to me, 'Watch where the Russians penetrate America.'" Think about this. If you've heard some prophetic words, one given by Brett Holderbaum, mm-hmm. what God has shown him, some given by Johnny Foote, and some that we've seen. He says, "Watch where the Russians penetrate America. I saw these words being written: Alaska, Minnesota, Florida." Then a man spoke again. "When America goes to war with China, the Russians will strike without warning."
Wow.
When, as you're looking right now, right this moment, that Eric Holder, the Attorney General, is basically poking America's fingers in China's chest, saying, you know, "You're committing espionage against us." And I think they said something back in Mandarin. I don't know what it was. It could have been something like, "We own you."
That's right.
"We have your debt. You buy our product." I don't know. They didn't say that, but I'm just saying. It's like, don't pick a fight with a giant.
Mortgage payment is due.
Yeah, mortgage payment is due. Right. Anyway, and he goes on to say in this prophetic word by Dmitri Dudeman, which is, this is coming to pass. "The other two presidents spoke, 'We too will fight for you.' Each had a place already planned as a point of attack." As they're attacking Taiwan, attacking America. "All of them shook hands and hugged." They shook hands and hugged. That happened this week. This week, President Putin made it's called Russia China Ink. They're playing a word on the ink that you write with. We're talking about incorporated, and they cut a $400 million deal. Is it 400 million or
actually billion?
Billion. 400 billion.
According
dollar
to this
deal.
Article,
yeah, $400 billion deal, according to the USA Today. This week it's happening, and he says that they hugged each other. Then they all signed a contract. One of them said, "We're sure that Korea and Cuba will be on our side too. Without doubt, together, we can destroy America. I'm just giving you a prophetic word here from Dimitri Dudeman, which Michael can remember. It's like, Michael, the Lord has spoken here.
Right.
The president of Russia began to speak instantly. Why let ourselves be led by the Americans? Why not rule the world ourselves? They have to be kicked out of Europe too. Then we can do as we please with Europe. The man standing beside me asked, "This is what you saw. They act as friends, and they say they respect the treaties made together. But everything I've shown you is how it will really happen. You must tell them what is being planned against America. Then, when it comes to pass, the people will remember the words the Lord has spoken." "Who are you?" I asked. "I am the protector of America. America's sin has reached God. He will allow this destruction, for he will allow this destruction. He can no longer stand such wickedness. God, however, still has people that worship him with a clean heart as they do his work. He has prepared a heavenly army to save these people." As I looked, a great army, well armed and dressed in white, appeared before me. "Do you see that?" the man asked me. "This army will go to battle to save my chosen ones. Then the difference between the godly and the ungodly will be evident." Mm-hmm. This is huge, because this is coming to pass. If you're looking right now, I don't know if you can see the G20 picture that was up, that it was held in Russia, and you're probably seeing it on CTN right now. You can see it at the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, and on your menu you see the VFN Torch there. Understand that when all the nations got together in G20, which means 20 nations economies got together, that what happened was very symbolic, because in that the President Barack Obama, which is America, strayed behind all 20 nations. So you had 19 nations that came out with Russia leading, mm-hmm. Just like this particular prophetic word that was given in 1996. And I believe it was almost 1 hour later, 45 minutes later, down that sidewalk came America. And it's a photo. It was literally laid out. And then it takes you back to, I don't know if you can actually hear this or not. Do you have the president's meeting with the president of Russia at that time. And he talks about, I'll have more flexibility after the elections, what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Do we have that?
Yeah.
I want you to listen to this. This is the president speaking to Russia.
"My last election, after my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah. Yeah. And I trust in this election. Let him run myself. My last election, after my election, I have more flexibility.
He said, "I understand it. I will transmit this to Vladimir," and that's Putin. He says, "After the election, I'll have more flexibility." Understands, look at the theme here. Russia, 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 1996, Dmitry Dudeman, Russia, words again and again, Russia. And just right now, just poking our fingers in the chest of China. And while we've actually weakened our military. Mm. But look at this too. When you think about this, do we have the picture? I mean, when they were doing, we were choosing our leaders, who were you going to choose? You had everybody meeting in different places, and America was voting on who their leaders were going to be. Well, at one particular place that they were meeting the leaders, the very one who says, "I have more flexibility after the election." I mean, look at the picture right now. You're looking at the Russian fleet. Do you have the Russian fleet?
No, I don't have it right now, but we can have it.
You can see, well, you see it right now. That that's the behind all the ones who were speaking, who are now leading our nation. That military fleet, that's Russians. That's Russia's fleet. That's Russian ships.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of a nation. When you talk about a fleet, fleet's not like that's their little fishing boats. This is the power of a nation. And so, in that, sending a message to Vladimir, sending a message that I'll have more flexibility after election. Just relax a little bit. And you're looking at right here in the context of this, that's like, this word's coming to pass. And things are about to shift. Well, then you go back and look, and you heard it in an earlier program. You know, Rick Joyner talking about that the church is going to shift west. And it's like everything's going to shift west. And just the standard flow of economies have always shifted east and shifted west. But this is like the final shift, because once it shifts to China, you're looking at China coming down to Jerusalem, that big, you know, coming down to all that different area there. But he's talking about that why should the American dollar be the primary currency? And that's exactly what they're talking about now. But that was what Dmitry Dudin was shown by the angel that protects America. So what am I saying about all this? I'm saying that, do we have that footage of them signing that agreement from USA Today? You got to see this. This is happening this week. This is the deal being cut that Dmitry Dudin was shown by an angel.
In a move likely motivated by an effort to avoid sanctions from the West, Russian President Vladimir Putin signed off on a huge gas deal with China Wednesday, worth $400 billion. The contract has been in talks for more than a decade, but the final agreement comes during Putin's two-day visit to China, as analysts say the Russian president wants to aggressively shift the country's commercial interests east. Sanctions from the U.S. and Europe have been mounting over Russia's interference with Ukraine. Sergei Yudkin, a political expert at the Russian Academy of Sciences, said, quote, "It's a demonstration of the fact that Russia always has and always will have other options to develop relations elsewhere. The threat of isolation coming from the West will not be complete." The partnership will see Russia export up to 38 billion cubic meters of gas per year for the next 30 years, starting in 2018. But it's not the only evidence of the neighboring country's closening friendship. Plans already announced between the nations include building the first railway bridge over their long border and manufacturing Chinese cars in Russia. The countries almost promised to more than double bilateral trade to $200 billion by 2020.
This is so amazing. There it is. It's coming to pass. When I'm looking at this word again, this is what the angel said to Dmitry Dudin. He says, you know, who are you? When he's talking to the one talking to him, he says, "I am the protector of America. America's sins have reached God. He will allow this destruction." What destruction? Well, Russia and China coming in with other countries coming in against America. "For he can no longer stand such wickedness. God, however, still has people that worship him with clean hearts as they do his work. For he has prepared a heavenly army to save these people. As I look, a great army, well armed and dressed in white, appear before me. Do you see them?" he asked. "This army will go to battle to save my chosen ones. And then there will be a difference between the godly and the ungodly, and it'll be evident." I want to encourage you, make a decision. Not a religious decision. Make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now is the day. The day is the time. But understand this, that based on the prophecy, these things are going to come to pass. But the church has yet to see its greatest days. It's about to take place in the earth. God bless. And if you've been listening recently about China, I mean, these are major ordeals. These are huge things going on right now. And it's a shocker when you find out that it looks like the very ones that you were counting on to be with you was actually selling you out for 30 pieces of silver. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like, I thought you were actually sworn to uphold the Constitution, not to sell America out for 30 pieces of silver. But it looks like right now I'm at that. And when you see how things shift, when you look at how things shift, and you haven't yet listened to or seen rebuilding the walls of America, the church in America, the heart of Nehemiah, you need to really begin to just let that soak into you, because the church has yet to see its best day. I mean, some awesome days are ahead for the church, but with it, persecution is going to come. But in that, you know, these earlier words we're talking about was Dmitry Dudin. There's a dream that God had given him in 1996, and it talks about how America, God's just basically going to let the trouble happen to America. And somebody says, that wouldn't happen. Have you seen what's already happened?
Yeah, right.
Have you seen what's already happened? And the reports are according to prophecies, according to several different prophetic words, according to Dmitry Dudeman, according to the fulfillment of what we're seeing now, even this week with Putin and more flexibility of our president and the DNC having the Russian fleet behind there. When we're talking about bombing Syria, Israel was totally surrounded, and it was a Russian fleet right outside of there, floating outside of Israel during that time, during those threats. And it's like, what are we doing? And it looks like, and if you look biblically, a lot of times we just read a chapter in the Word of God, we think, well, that happened in about 20 seconds because it took me 20 seconds to read that.
Right.
Versus, well, when there's a transition, when there's a shifting, and there's one thing about wars, wars change borders. You know, wars, that's when borders change. That's when constitutions change. That's when powers change. And so you don't want war if you don't, if you want to keep what you have. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to lose the Constitution. You don't want to lose your economy. And but when you look at those transitions that took place, and we're talking about the church here, we're not talking about others. And in Israel, was something had to happen to get people to buy in to cause these things to shift to all of a sudden Jezebel is, even though she's not really the king, she is the king, even though she's the queen and the king's not even doing what he's supposed to be doing, even though God called him to do it. And so anyway, she's running the nation,
right?
You know, male or female, but this stronghold's running the nation. And that's what was happening over God's folks. And somehow somebody had to begin to establish, which, you know, Ahab was doing it and Jezebel was even doing more of it, which was bringing in false gods and worship of Baal and Asherah and Dagon and all these gods. So somebody had to go build the local Dagon temple and somebody had to build the local. I mean, there's these processes that happen that a lot of times when you read the Word of God, you can be, you know, thinking it just was. But it wasn't before it was. So how did it get to this particular point? And so you got to understand, okay, meditate. Like, what was it like when the entire nation of Israel was hiding behind rocks and they were terrified that this giant was going to destroy them? I mean, the whole nation, the king and everyone was terrified of Goliath and the army that was with Goliath. And David didn't know anything about it, but he knew God. And so when he goes to deliver lunch to his brothers who are hiding behind stucco, which is a form of rock, right? Isn't that a form of rock?
Yeah.
Stucco, yeah. Like smeared rock.
It's made of concrete.
Smeared rock, you know. And he talked to his brothers and he said, here's his, you know, a bologna sandwich and a barley loaf, whatever. And he's looking at him, you know, are you hiding? You know?
Right.
And he overhears in the local CNN broadcast. No, he overhears a local speech. He overhears Putin talking about how he's going to threaten America. He overhears China talk about how, you know, he overhears this threat coming against the nation of Israel. And so he hears this guy saying, you know, I'm going to destroy Israel. I mean, Goliath is just shouting these threats out, and all the nation, including the king, was basically hiding behind. They were in hiding. They were terrified of what can happen. But one young man who knew God, who spent time with God, you know, he was shocked. He was just shocked. It's like, have y'all quit reading your Bibles? Do you not pray anymore? Have you not heard the voice of the Lord? Do you not understand he's the creator of the universe and holds everything together, that nothing can... Don't you understand that you're God's chosen folks? Don't you understand that he will defend you? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of God? Now, understand, you couldn't say who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against America, because America is not the church. But there's a church in America, and it's like, where are you? Are you hiding behind, you know, 501c3s? I mean, what are you hiding behind? Are you hiding behind boards and hiding behind committees, or where are you? And it's like, oh, it's scared. Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, no. And so David comes out and he just says, you know, who is this coming against God's folks? Who is this making this threat? And of course, it's really, I mean, you think about how you felt if you're the one hiding behind the rock and you justify that. We have a new strategy. It's called Hide Behind the Rock. It's 101. We have a PowerPoint and we'll show you why we need to avoid associating in public anymore because there's a giant out there and he might hurt us. So we all, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, that's a farce. You're not supposed to be hiding behind rocks. You're supposed to be in the streets and telling everybody about the Lord and God will defend you. Who is this coming against the armies of God? And so, of course, it probably hurt their pride. And so they started saying back to this David, saying, you know, you runt, you know, what are you doing out here? You and your few sheep. What are you? I mean, they just begin to just dog him out. You always were a prideful person. It's like, no, I think you're hiding behind the rock. And they just begin to ridicule the one who God had chosen to lead them. In the future, these very same folks are going to say, you know what? Come lead us, David. Come lead us, David. And so David, think about this. And this is what's happening right now. We got to understand, we got to dissect the church in regards, not dissect the church, but pull her out of the nations and understand she's in the nations, but not of the nations. She's her own ethnos. She's her own nation in the context of that and begin to relate with pure Christianity and in the context of what God is saying in this. And, because a king says to, David, when David says, I'll take it down. I'll take this stronghold down. The king starts to say, okay, well, here's you some stuff. I mean, he's literally having a young boy defend a nation. That's how desperate they were. And look how desperate the church is in America right now. Some of the things they're going on is like, no, we just need to come out from behind the rocks. We just need to come out and change this institutionalized enterprise that we've turned the church into that Rick Joyner's talking about. We need to get back to just the pure form of Christianity again. It'd be a lot cheaper. And so in that, he tries to put on all of his stuff to be able to, he says, listen, I can't do this stuff. I got to, ever how I relate to God, that's how I got to relate to God. Just give me my slingshot and my five rocks, right? He goes out and he takes down the stronghold that the entire nation was hiding behind. You know, we've got, as the church, we've got to begin to stand up. And yeah, as Americans, you know, if you're in America and you're listening to this, yeah, you need to be a good constitutional citizen. You need to be in context of under the Constitution and the laws of the land. But and Christianity allows for that. God wants us to be good citizens in whatever nation that we're in. But you don't sell out Jesus. I mean, that the Constitution is not the Bible. Because of the Bible, because of what Wycliffe and everyone did and the journey of America, you know, how we got here and how we stay here, and you can go back and you can listen to that, that it birthed a nation, yes, but the Bible came before the Constitution.
Right.
And the kingdom came before America and the kingdom of God. And so here we are today, and we're looking at the world is shifting as we know it. But big things are taking place as we know it. And hegemony is still, you know, on the mouths of men. Men still want to rule the world. They still want to, I mean, it's like, isn't that like take a lot of energy? I mean, why would we?
Right.
And what it is it's whatever's the darkness behind them that's driving them, like Hitler was driven and all those ones are driven. But we're starting to see Putin look like he wants to go back to the original place of where Russia was prior to, you know, their fall. And when you look at why they fell, when you look at how their economy fell, and you look where America reportedly was involved in crashing their economy, I mean, we don't have, you know, as the church, we want to tie ourselves to the Lord. Because
right.
What happens is when you turn your back on the Lord, there's a grace on your life. And grace just helps us in our stupidity when we make mistakes and when your grace is undeserved things. And so when you're walking with God, it's not in your, you know, the grace of God's on your life. It's just everybody looks at you in amazement because they're thinking, like, there's no way he could be floating. There's no way he could be standing. There's no way that he could still be alive or she could be alive. The thing is, that's the grace of God. But if you turn your back, church in America, if you turn your back on God, he pulls that grace off. And all of a sudden, all of our nastiness, all of our errors, all of our mistake, everything that his grace once covered is now exposed. And what it does, it drives us back to the cross and goes, you know, dear God, I don't know what I was thinking. Forgive me. You are the Lord of my life. I lay it all down. You know, forgive me for my haughtiness or whatever it is. But you, it brings you back and you realize, for by grace am I saved. And that's why your grace is amazing, right?
That's
amazing,
right.
Grace. How
amazing.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like Pat. But think about this. So this is a prophetic word. You're hearing a prophetic utterance. Make sure you hear each of these programs on China. I know that you're looking at a shift taking place where President Putin signed an agreement with China. They're saying the USA Today is reporting that the reason why they are doing this is because they're concerned of what the sanctions that are being put on by America because of him coming down into the Ukraine. But the truth is, the truth is God knows the actual truth, but prophetically insights that God's been showing and we've been talking about over the program for quite some time about in this whole journey is this has been a whole organized effort. I mean, you think about this, that it's almost like turning over the baton of leadership of the world to President Putin. When you think about it, I mean, it just seems that way because we talked about it earlier. He got the, you know, saying I'll have more flexibility after the election in the context of the Democratic National Convention. They have the Russian military fleet up. That sends a huge sign out to the world and definitely to Putin. That's definitely a message to Putin. Mm-hmm. Then you have saying we're going to bomb, you know, Syria. We're going to come in Damascus, I believe it was, you know, coming towards Damascus. At the same time, the Russian fleet was, floating outside in the context of that. And the entire Arab League pretty much gathers together and says, listen, America, if you will get in and deal with this Assad regime, then we will finance it. We will pay for this. Mm. But instead of doing that, the reports are that our president turns over the entire Arab League, over 500 million Muslims, you know, Muslim nations, Muslims and these particular 21 Muslim nations, and just turns over the leadership to Putin. Did we not read that?
Yeah.
Did we not talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about that. I mean, it's sort of like saying, you know, I'm noticing in your resume here that, you know, you worked at McDonald's, you worked at Burger King, you know, you worked at this other burger joint that you got a fast food career. Mm-hmm. Right? You would say something mm-hmm. like that, right? When it's like, okay, I'll transmit this to Vladimir. I will organize the Arab League and turn them over to Vladimir. I will say nothing when Vladimir is coming into the Ukraine in regards to a military response. And then I will make economic threats that justify your connection and commitment to China. And it looks just, well, he's getting threatened. I can see why he's cutting deals with China now. $400 billion 30-year deal with $300 billion USA Today's reporting in the future. And talking about building a bridge. And that's very interesting because that's part of what God showed me about a bridge being built or just going over this bridge and how it was the same on both sides of the bridge. And it's like, and there's some major shiftings taking place. But you think about it, you know, America's 300 and something million folks, and China is 1.3, 1.4 billion.
Mm, right.
They are what, like 4.5 times or something like that, 3.5 times our size. I mean, think about that. That's huge. They're huge. I mean, their military, or their police force is like a million, over a million mm-hmm. officers, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's huge. That's huge when you think about it. And it's like we're being downsized. We're getting to, this is, I don't know if you heard the earlier program when Pat and John were talking about transitional packages. Yeah. America's getting a transitional package.
For sure.
A fundamental transformation package. And it's like, what are we going to do? And we began to talk about this in the earlier program. What does it look like when a nation is going through transformation? Because one day Israel's, you know, here and they're having this relationship with the Lord and, you know, God's meeting their needs. And the next thing, you know, God's saying, I'm out of here. You're going to be under Babylon, Babylonian captivity. I'm just upset with you. Oh. And so there's a transition that happens in the context of that. And, I really believe that the distance it takes and the time it takes from the time of God says it prophetically before anything begins to happen, then even when it's happening, based on what we saw with Nineveh and we've seen the ways of God, He's just wanting us to say, we're sorry, you're right. Not just saying we're sorry because it hurts, saying we're sorry because we are broken about what we have done before the Lord. We have this intense sadness in our heart. You know, we're broken because we hurt the heart of God, and we understand that we did, and that we also understand that he's merciful. And we would be like Nehemiah, you know, crying out for our father's sins and our sins, and asking God to forgive us. You know, would you forgive us? And sometimes that still comes with a time of learning a few lessons. But that would be the key. I think that delay of the time when things begin and how they get to a certain point is being able to shout out like Nineveh did and say, we will fast, we will turn. I mean, and what really encourages me too is watching how God responded to a man who provoked him, a king that provoked him. Imagine being a provoker of God. And his name was King Ahab. I mean, God was just, this guy was just, I mean, he provoked God. And he gave up his authority. He did all these terrible things. But he humbled himself when he found out that trouble was coming after God sent Elijah to tell him, your days are over and it's gone. And, you know, And then he humbles himself. He hears the prophetic word. Ahab hears the prophetic warning from Elijah. He humbles himself, and he prays and he fasts, and God notices it. God notices Ahab.
Yeah.
Now, we have to remember, that's the heart of God. When you have somebody repenting and somebody asking for forgiveness and somebody humbling themselves, I mean, despite, even if they provoked you, you got to be open to have the heart of God in situations and say, yeah, this is great. And God said to Elijah, yeah, have you noticed him? Yeah, I saw TV last night. Lord, please, no. You know, I went out there and this man, he's provoked you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go back and talk to him. Tell him, hey, I saw him humbling himself. I mean, think about that. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. Of course, whoever the Elijah is at the situation might not think it's that wonderful, right?
It won't last.
I know. I said he was going to kill you, but he saw you starve yourself and repent. But think about it. It just shows you that we can do the same thing. We can humble ourselves. And when you really understand the intensity of the moment, you have no problem doing without food or doing without anything. You're just like, oh my goodness, God. And they even muzzled the ox. They even muzzled the animals in Nineveh. Nobody's eating anything. It's like the cow said, I'm not eating and you're not eating me. Yeah, right. It's a win-win for the cow. And so seeing this distance and these prophetic warnings, and I know one of the prophetic warnings that came, and I wish we have, I don't know if we might have it available, you can hear it, is Brett Holderbaum, but the Lord was showing him this aircraft in the air where they were coming after American aircraft. It was red aircraft. And at another time, the Lord has shown him Cuban aircraft, you know, coming in. And with Johnny Foote, you know, talking about another one moving prophetically, talked about, you know, from the center of the United States, the Russia was coming in to the center of the United States. And you just kind of think, the center of the United States, how could you get? But then there's reports, as you heard earlier in earlier programs, that there are Russian soldiers or Russian, like SEAL Team Type 6, and for us, those kind of guys, seem that they're training right in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Brett was telling us about that.
How about that?
And it's just, the whole thing is our borders are wide open for anybody except for Marines that are stuck in Mexico that can't get back. We won't let them come in. And it's like, but if you're against the country, come on in. And so you start thinking, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with people. God's turning us over.
Mm-hmm.
He's upset with us. I mean, you read the Bible and you think, get a clue. You know, what are you doing? You're thinking, you read again, you're thinking, yeah, I'm the only one that watches the History Channel with anticipation. Maybe this time it won't happen. It's like, it's history. But you just hope, you know, that somebody's going to listen. And it's like, right now, we can just go, wait a minute. There's no way that one or two or three people or some team somewhere could have this kind of worldwide organizing power unless the Lord allowed it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the truth. Because he's the one that gives us air to breathe. He's the one that when Herod took credit for what he was doing, He fell dead and the worms ate his body. He's the one that even Nebuchadnezzar, who was an evil king, who was over God's folks when God's folks was in bondage, you know, in Babylon in captivity, that he put him in the woods, hair growing out, fingernails growing out, looking like a wild animal out there because he took credit for what God was doing. Look, think about this. Not even an evil man was allowed to take credit for the evil empire that he had because God even allowed him to be over his folks. Isn't that something?
Wow.
Which should show us we got to quit looking horizontally and look vertically and realize, you know, God is in control and maybe he's speaking to us. Maybe he's saying something to us. And I know this, if we unwind ourselves, if we take the cross and the flag and pull it off of the cross and say, wow, that's great. Thank you for the nation. But then raise the cross higher than the flag and say, Lord, we need to get back to the heart of worship. We need to get back to the purity in the gospel. We need to get back to you, Jesus. We got to get back to you. That brings hope. That brings hope to the nation. It brings hope for your life. And no matter what, the Lord will come and rescue you and meet you in that place. Even if it's in a jail like Paul was, the Lord met him there. And he wrote a large part of the Bible that we read was written in prison.
Mm-hmm.
It was written in prison because God was with him. And when he was in chains, he said, it's only bothering me. He says, I wish you were like I was, except for these chains. It just didn't bother him because he found a new home. His home was in glory. He knew that the Lord was preparing a place for him and that where he was and is, that he was going to be with him. So this time on earth right now is about being loyal to the Lord, getting back to the heart of what we're called to be as Christians, Christ followers. Be disciples of Jesus Christ and begin to abide with him and follow him. We're talking about some prophetic words that were given about China. And if you missed the earlier program, you got to hear it about Dmitry Dudeman talking about in 1996, he was given a word. And can you pull up that Dmitry Dudeman on the torch so I can actually look at the book? The book is America and Through the Fire. And there was a prophetic word given over America by Dmitry Dudeman. And I had a chance to be there when he was giving it. Now he's gone, I guess, 1996, 97 is when he went to be with the Lord. But in that word was he saw America, parts of America on fire. He saw New York was on fire. Tennessee was on fire. I think California was on fire. I'm not sure. Nevada or not Nevada, but the Las Vegas and Florida was on fire. And then he saw this horse running across the nation. Don't talk to me details about that. But the thing was is that the nation was going under a time of difficulty. And we've talked about this before, but if money and opportunity and economic justice is divided on race, then when I respond to my economy, you have a chance to confuse the issue and think this is a race issue, and it's not a race issue. But if jobs have been handed out based on race, if housing's been handed out based on race, if job opportunities have been handed out based on race, if lack of opportunity for a generation of people coming to a place of equality in the economy, that 10 acres, 40 acres, and a mule didn't do, 10 years of 40 acres and a mule didn't do that. How he describes what he saw in this vision of America was it was really a social economic uprising. But because the economy, when you think about it, so then it's a financial, people were upset financially, what's taking place, what's not taking place. And so people were getting really upset about it. Well, if you've been dividing money based on race, if you've been if you're given one race of people less opportunities and less financial opportunities or less education opportunities, and you can come up with all the scenarios you want to, but if you draw out the grid and the grid says, I've had only 20% of what you had 180% of, then, and you did that based on race, and that's why you hear people talk about institutionalized racism, where they're saying, I don't know what everybody's saying. But what you can say to the context of that is that you basically said that was okay, how that was being handed out. And so economic justice in the sight of men could be, well, there just needs to be equality in how people are treated. We should not be judged on the color of our skin, but the content of our character. In other words, if, you know, opportunity should be colorblind in America. And but with that, if you divided it based on race, so then there becomes some economic struggle. And somebody starts saying, yeah, we got to organize and we got to have this economic struggle and we got to make our voices known. The reason why that's predominantly maybe one race doing that, you got to ask yourself the question, has the economy been divided up based on race? When money was being passed out, did you say, you know, three for yourself and one for you? You know, when neighborhoods were being built, did you say, that's your neighborhood and this is my neighborhood? When promotions were being given out, did you say, you know, three promotions for me and one promotion for you because we have to, versus like, hey, that's a human being. And so you think about this, that, and this is what he said, what Dimitri Dudin was saying, and some of the things that the Lord's been laying on my heart is you got to be careful as the church now, not as the world, as the church, that if there is huge economic not being equal in the economy, then back up a little bit before you start looking at it as a race issue. You know what I'm saying? Back up a little bit and see human beings. And then look at their life and look at the struggle that particular person's talking about, no matter what their race is. And it could be a total legitimate economic unequal treated opportunity that you can say, that's right. This justice needs to be in the situation. That person for four generations did not have the opportunity that you had over here. As the church, you know, that's what we would say. We, you know, because we're not, don't, because money was, for a large part of America, money, opportunity, things that produce money, job, land, houses, was distributed based on race, when you look at it, opportunity, then when somebody says, you know, your chickens are coming home to roost, they're just saying, when you think about that, you can think about it saying that, you remember when you distributed everything based on race? Well, that's just going to balance out now. You know? Mm-hmm. It's just going to be, we're no longer going to look at race. We're just going to equally distribute it amongst all of us human beings here. Everybody's going to have an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it, that's beautiful that everybody could have a fair chance. We need to get, and you think about the original intent of the founding fathers of America was not what it ended up being, but what they had to settle for as they were trying to come up with a constitution because of a predominant amount of people that brought mindsets over from Great Britain and continue that. And the first Great Awakening brought about the nation. The second Great Awakening brought about, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation and freedom from slavery. But then you have to walk out of that. As Thurgood Marshall said, when they were bringing integration to the school system in 1962 or 59 or whatever it was, as somebody says, didn't you think this should be, you know, slow progression? And he goes, I think 100 years is good enough. That's 100 years after, you know, I'm thinking like, yeah, what do you say? It's been 100 years since the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. And realize that was a few days ago. And so when you start seeing these things, I want to prepare your heart to begin to, as Christians, that don't look, you know, like Dr. King says, don't judge a man by the color of his skin or a woman by the color of her skin, no matter what that color is, but by the content of their character. As Christians, we would say, you know, you know them by their fruit. Mm. You know them by their fruit. And we talked about, and I've talked about, you know, Dr. King and looking at his life. And I personally believe, and I had some people come back and, you know, say, I don't think so. Well, that's what you think. This is what I think. I think that he was an apostle. I think that he stood and he led America to the original intent God had for this nation. Mm-hmm. And he marched in streets that others wouldn't in the face of people, you know, doing evil things and gave his life for this cause. But he did it in love. There was 10, I believe it was 10 commitments that you had to make to be able to walk. You couldn't even walk with Dr. King unless you made these commitments. And I believe that's why Malcolm X, and although they appreciated each other, they had different
ideologies,
philosophies, yeah, and how they walked that out. But he walked in love. He understood that, first of all, if you're going to walk with me, and I don't know if we have the Ten Commitments up here in front of me, but we'll make it available to you, that you had actually had to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You had to abide with the Lord. You had to read scripture every day and memorize it. You had to treat people fairly and in love. You had to be willing to put down your next of kin to locate, because you didn't know how it was going to turn out. But he understood. I mean, think about what an apostle does. He took a nation. He took a nation and brought us to God's original intent for this nation. We think about it. And other people did well, you know, with him. But, you know, front lines makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
I was with you all the way. You couldn't see me. I was in the back. I was back there and, you know, the thing. But, I mean, he was on the front lines. And America identified him with that movement, and which means I just believe he was an apostle. We can learn so much from Dr. King, because it's time for us as Americans. And what he understood this, he says, I'm only holding you to what's written on the paper. And he was talking about the United States Constitution. So we got to get back in, first of all, the Bible, like Dr. King did. Secondly, we got to read our Constitution. And we have to understand an unjust law is no law at all. And if people are being treated unjustly, we as Christians, we want them to be treated justly. The Constitution says they should be treated justly. And listen, if it means that people are brought to equality in the context of how they're treated socially and economically, then that's fair. That's a good thing. You know, Paul says, I'm not taking for you so you don't have. Paul said, I'm taking from you so those that don't have will have. And when you're in need, we'll do the same from them to you. Listen, God is into all of us being treated well. He loves us all. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.